Hello, good people, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast, a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And I'm Jamil Graham, your host, and today we have two very special guests. In our first hour, we are live here with an awesome voice of ascension. We are going to be exploring ascension today. And our first hour is going to be with Meg Benedicte, and she's with us now. Hello, Meg.
Hi. Hello, Jamil. It's great to be here with you, with your listeners.
It's a pleasure to have you as well. And we have been brought here to share in the exploration of ascension. And the conversation of ascension was really a challenging beginning in my own consciousness because of all the hype and all the stigmas and all the yada yada in what I call the New Age church. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful that I was able to keep pushing through it because, you know, ascension, the idea of the human spirit of all life evolving, continuing its evolution, is really not a woo-woo thing. It's actually a phenomena of life. And so I'm really grateful to be welcoming you. You are one who is living the ascension trajectory, as well as one who has been gifted in sharing not only your experience, but in developing technologies and working from a very grounded level about what ascension is. And so it's really an honor to have you and your wisdom to introduce us to what ascension is here at the Alchemy of Light broadcast, and to begin to, you know, clear away some of the myths and open up mm-hmm. some of those doors to let those fears and those confusions just heal themselves and carry on, and help us reclaim our minds and really find, you know, our own grounding in this whole conversation.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. And I'd love to share whatever I can to help people in their own personal session as well. So let's do it.
All right. Well, let's begin with the biggest event in the multiverse, in this universal consciousness shift as we would know it here as a human being on planet Earth. And that is right around the planetary shifts in the 2012 conversation, 2112, with the summer, with the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere. Can we start there? And
yeah.
Can you take us through, you know, some of the planetary shifts and its alignment in the universe and, you know, really ground what happened there?
I would love to, because 2012 was a pivotal year in our own personal evolution and ascension, and also what's happening on the planet as well. Just basic background, our planet, our solar system actually is lining up with the galactic center, the galactic core. There's actually a galactic vortex that spins at the galactic core. And we are coming out of thousands of years of being on the fringe of the Milky Way galaxy in darkness and coming more and more into alignment with the extremely powerful gamma photon light that emanates, spins out, it pulses out of our galactic vortex. And so we're in range now, and our solar system is being infused with a continual wave of gamma photon light. Light, of course, photons are the carriers of consciousness, the carriers of information, and this is coming into our planetary geomagnetic field as well as into our own bioenergetics. So we are being just bathed in it. And what I noticed is as we started to get closer and closer in 2012, I wonder how many people began to sense everything was starting to speed up. everything was accelerating. That's, of course, what happens when you get into a gamma photon belt. It is of a much higher frequency. Gamma light is at 25 hertz and higher. Our planet is pulsing at a standard 7 to 8 hertz. And so you got to think about that. We usually live through the day in brain waves that are between probably 4 and 12 hertz. And so we're getting into an environment that is accelerating everything. Everything is speeding up. The frequency is getting higher. And so we're also absorbing sentient consciousness in this photon light into our bodies, into our DNA, and into our minds, into our awareness. So that's what last year was all about. It was everything was speeding towards what we call zero point. And this is the zero gravity field that exists in the galactic core. And there is no time differential in zero point. There's no time. There's no fourth dimension of space, time, distance. And so it was shrinking, and it was dissolving, and time was starting to speed up and slow down and get very fluid. We were losing the element of time as we've known it. As we headed towards the final shift, which was December 21st on the solstice. So some of the things that I noticed as we were heading towards zero, and everything was increasing in our bodies and in our minds. So there was a lot of releasing happening, of course, last year. A lot of lower toxic energy, dense energy was releasing out of our systems. It could have been emotional energy. It could have been negative thinking. It could have even just been parasitic toxins in your body. That was all getting kind of shaken loose and coming up and releasing as we got faster and faster into the gamma photon light. What I noticed as we were getting towards the end of the year and towards that very powerful week between 12-12-12 and 12-21, it's about 9-10 days there, that the light codes that were streaming onto the planet were profoundly critical. They were off the charts. That week or so was so intense as the powerful light codes were pouring into our system that once I noticed we get to the tipping point, which is 12-21, and it was the end of the Mayan calendar, and it was the start. 12-22 is basically the start of a new age, the golden age of the 2,000 years that our planet's going to be in this photon band. And what I noticed also happening, not only in my own body, my own thoughts, my own energy, and absorbing all the transmissions of light codes into my system, was how was it affecting the planet as well? Because it's everyone. No one could escape it. It was infusing our entire planet. What I began to notice was that it was getting into our DNA. And there is corrupted codes. There's artificial intelligence. We're basically a hybrid human. And they started to unravel. They couldn't hold in the gamma photon light. So it was the first thing I noticed. The second thing I noticed is that the program that's running on the planet that I would call the collective mind it's like a pumped in program that is in the ethers, in the planetary field that gets into our thoughts and into our ego, into the mind. It was also not able to run. It's being run on scalar wave technology. It was also not able to run and hold in the collective field. So what we're seeing now, since we've gotten past 12-21, is an unraveling of the holographic reality we have been born and raised in that has kept us very limited and very locked down. So that would be probably a place to start, Jamil, is just the fact that this shift into this photon band and into the light codes is affecting us at the DNA level as well as in the consciousness of our planet.
That's a great place to start. And if anybody's listening and has a question or would like to join this, you know, has an inquiry about the ascension process, please do feel free to give us a ring at 888-627-6008. And to carry on, the gamma rays, the photon belt, it's a phenomena what the photon belt has received in the controversy around it. And then now it's suddenly just such a reality. And in those period, that week that you were mentioning, I likewise noticed the sky was turning these really intense colors. I was in the Pacific Northwest, and I saw the most amazing sky show. It was in that week. So that's interesting. Now, can you explain to us, our bodies are not solid. And this to me is one of the primary reasons why we would be so intimately affected to the DNA, literally through our body, through every single cell in our body, because our bodies literally are not solid. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about that and how this light would penetrate us in that truthful reality?
Okay, so our bodies are made of, at the quantum level, these spiraling atoms, and they're basically double vortices that are spinning together, creating what we call a torus spin. It looks like a donut spin. Each atom is, in a sense, a microcosm of our universe, just like our galactic vortex is a torus spin. Our atoms are a torus spin. They are not solid. They create a physical matter based on this oscillation spin rate, which is what we call a frequency. So the lower, slower the spin of the atom, the denser of the energy of the matter that it forms in the material world. So if we're really pulsing particles, which even particles really are just these whirlpools of energy in the ether, then we are open and available to what is basically pulsing and flowing in the primordial soup that we call the collective field or the ether field, the quantum field. And so this is what happens, is our entire geomagnetic field is just inundated with this gamma sentient consciousness in the photon light. It's penetrating in and gets into the actual brain through the neural pathways. The photon light streams into the brain. Our brain actually operates more like a computer. It converts that data into the database that is coding the DNA. And the DNA, of course, is traveling through our system, instructing the atoms on how to spin, how to oscillate, how to particulate. So we are driven by photon light, in a sense, right? We are formulating according to the consciousness that is streaming in through the photon light. And this is how I learned to select what I wanted to stream into the brain, into the computer of the brain that is converting those frequencies into the material world that creates my personal physical matter. And we can do that through frequency. We can select what range of frequency we are oscillating ourselves at that we then draw into the brain. And then that creates a different reality based on the level of frequency, the range of frequency. So this is how we are ascending. We're ascending and raising our frequency into higher holographic realities that exist above us that we couldn't access before because we were too low, we were too dense, we were in the lower range. It's kind of similar to like how a television is converting frequencies into the images that show up on your television screen. That's what our brain does. It converts the frequencies into the imagery that creates our physical reality. So if we change the channel, we change the frequency, we change the reality.
All right. And when we change the frequency, the reality, can you go into a little bit about the head, heart, stomach connection? Because it doesn't all happen in the head, right? It's not just, oh, you think this and it happens. It's not like that, is it?
No, I actually found that the more that the ego subconscious has taken over the mind, the less you actually are connected to the physical body. It actually disconnects the mind and matter. The more that you can break free of the hold and the control of the ego in the mind and open up the channel of your crown portal and your inner chakra pillar to these higher, what we would call more like divine frequencies to stream into our system, the more the heart is able to metabolize and process that higher frequency. Love is, of course, the highest frequency in our universe. The more that we are raising up to these higher ranges of frequencies, the more that it feeds and nourishes your heart, feeds and nourishes your chakra pillar, and it goes into the bioenergetics. So it is, it's very interesting. You know, we talked about the Taurus spin of the atoms. Well, our own bioenergetics, our own physical body is also designed to operate like a Taurus as well. So the heart would be the center point of the Taurus spin, and it is so important that that heart of ours is healed and open and expanded and metabolizing light into it. And that was then the heart serves as the portal between the lower physical world of the three-dimensional physical senses and then up into the fifth-dimensional world of the quantum field. So the heart is that like interdimensional portal between the two worlds. So the heart is so key.
And the heart being the metabolizer, is that means the one that actually is able to receive and communicate what to do next. And then it sends it to the brain for processing the code. And then it sends it to, there's a lot of new stuff coming out about the stomach and the importance of the stomach and the digestion. This is new that I've just been coming across. I'm very interested in if you have any part about that, but it's from this Taurus in our heart, the energy spins and communicates the metabolized frequency request to the brain, which then goes to work and encodes things and then something like that.
Yeah. How it's been for me is the center of gravity in our core body is the solar plexus and the heart. So it's third and fourth chakra. All of our chakras are connected to the dimension. So it's third dimension at the solar plexus, fourth dimension at the heart chakra. And the Taurus creates that still point or zero point in the center between the heart. It involves both heart and solar plexus. Of course, the stomach is fed by the solar plexus. The solar plexus is our will center, our power center. The heart, of course, is the portal gateway to the higher dimensions, to the higher self. And so they need to be in balance, and they need to be neutralized of any polarized energy that builds up from the constant opposition between positive and negative and light and shadow and masculine and feminine. These are all opposite charges in our planetary field, and they are in a push-pull battle inside our chakra pillar and our energy. So we use the quantum vortex to neutralize that polarity, that battle that's going on, so that we can actually create a null zone, a still point. And when you can create a still point in that third, fourth chakra area, solar plexus heart, you are actually opening a portal to the quantum field. And this is what opens us up to the fifth dimension. So the polarity blocks us from the fifth dimension. It keeps us locked in ego and in the lower three dimensions of just physical self. And then when we can neutralize and create the null zone, zero point in the center of our upper belly there, it's right above the navel, get that where it's calm, it's neutral, it's balanced, physical, you know, positive, negative, masculine, feminine are equally balanced there, then that opens the heart portal up to the higher dimensions.
Aha. Uh-huh. So the heart is actually much more of the focus in ascension. Is that correct?
Well, I feel the heart, because the heart is fourth dimension, the heart is the fourth chakra. It's where we're dissolving time. It's where fourth dimension is time, space, distance. Is where we're removing the separation of time. The heart is, in a sense, I would call it that. The ascension portal is processing all of the photon light coming in, and like you said, it then goes through the sensory body, through the chakra pillar, and it converts into, not, you know, aha moments, into knowing, into the human mind, to be able to receive the message, the guidance. So yeah, it all comes into heart, solar plexus, gets processed there in the center of the torus. And then we are able to receive whatever is the pertinent information, the message that has come in.
Mm-hmm. And share with us a little bit how this translates in our everyday world. This in your writing has been very clearly experienced in the 3D lower D reality, being your childhood programming, and then right. Move to the ascended, the soul becoming your guiding voice, the life you're now living. Will you explain a little bit about that and how that applies to the ascension process?
Okay, so what I found when I was younger, I started awakening in my early 30s. This is about 20 years ago, and started observing my own energy, how it was flowing or not flowing, because most of it was pretty locked down. And that's when I started getting an understanding of how the polarity was a big problem. Because if you think about it, we're living in an electromagnetic field, and in electromagnetic field, opposites are attracted to each other. So it draws the opposing forces to each other, but then, of course, they're banging against each other. And what I found is in myself, and then as I started working with clients, was that it made it an impossible environment for the soul to descend into the body. So most of us were absent. We, you know, our soul presence, our divinity was out in the aura. It couldn't get into the mind. It couldn't get into the body. And, of course, when you are disconnected like that, this creates low chi, low energy. It also starts to create a dependency on feeding on energy outside ourselves. So this is where we've been living in a parasitic environment, a parasitic program, where we're all feeding on each other or feeding on substances, and we are pretty malnourished of any kind of real life force, you know, light life force and soul presence. So this was the first place I started. I began to recognize I need to change what's happening in my body so I can get my soul back in me. That was like the number one thing that was freaking me out. Mm. And as I started tuning in, of course, this has all been done intuitively and with clairvoyance with my higher self and the ascended masters. I began to work on neutralizing that polarity inside me and being able to open up my chakra pillar. Most people's chakra pillars are like a little trickle, very, very narrow and empty. And what I did was worked continuing to clear polarized energies out, balance myself, and open that chakra pillar so it could fill inside my body where my soul could descend in and start to merge with my energetics and my mind and my heart. And once you're able to reclaim your own soul presence inside you, it changes everything, because now you're not malnourished. Now you're not needy. You're not looking to feed on energy outside yourself. You start to be filled with authentic confidence and courage and inner strength just from the soul presence. It completely shifts how I saw the world and how I was able to hold myself in the world and present myself to the world. So it's quite life-altering to go through this process and begin to feel more whole and complete again.
Okay. Thank you. I think really it's important to just share how important it is to allow the process, and that it isn't the light goes on, that it's a process.
Yeah, it
right?
is a process. It's a gradual process, because I don't even think the human psyche could handle if it was just flipped on automatically. You know, also our bodies are so dense in that 7-8 hertz frequency that it's very difficult to get the light inside the physical cell. The cell is carbon dense. It's very difficult to get light current running up and down the chakra circuits and the axotonal lines in the energy body. So that took time. I've worked with this process daily for 15 years and have been clearing and removing the density and the shadow consciousness and the artificial intelligence. And like, so it's been a pretty steady process of dealing with the ego that resists and wants to control the life. And so this is not for the faint of heart. You have to be really dedicated to make the shift.
Well, even the conversation of soul, and perhaps we can segue in some integrated way here with the extraterrestrial manipulation of the DNA and the interference in the electromagnetic field specifically to keep us dense and keep us disconnected from our soul. And it's been so thorough, they invented religion so that we would get very confused about what soul is. And even if you mention soul, I mean, there are places where people deny soul even exists. You know, that stuff in the human that we're clearing is truly profound. So perhaps we could go there and look a bit about just how dense that is and how, you know, the importance of just loving ourselves through this process and understanding that it's so much bigger than we can imagine, you know?
It really is. And it does take patience and it does take self-love, self-nurturance, just being there for yourself. As you have to kind of think about it as if you were in a prison and you're trying to do the breakout. And as you get yourself free, you still have prison mentality running in you. You know, this all needs to be healed and cleared. So the mind, wherever that mind control is running in the mind, that you're able to start to shift that out, lift that out, and start to see and process through the eyes of the soul, through the higher consciousness of the soul and not of these controlling programs of the ego, of the lower mind. So how I started actually even encountering any of this is that we were talking about, because believe me, I didn't know anything about this. I had not a clue. But I started working with clients, and I have to say my university has been working with clients. It's just peering in, clairvoyantly reading their energy, and they come to me with their pain, their suffering, their problems, and we go, okay, let's go find the root cause. And that's when I began to discover this entire 3D matrix that is the prison. And I started also picking up that there were ET races that were interfering with the clients and interfering with the consciousness on the planet. I had not a clue. I had no idea this was going on, except I kept encountering it over and over every time I'd work with clients. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I was pretty devastated. I have to be honest with you. And I had to finally accept this was happening. It was just overwhelming, to be honest. But then I realized, well, if I'm being shown this, it's for a reason. And so we are able with knowledge, we can then go in and adjust it. We can go in and improve it. We can go in and alter it. So it's this matrix that I call the prison. To me, it looks like the interconnecting lines of information that is wrapped around the planet that we live in. This is what I call like the collective field. And it's running a program. It is running like a slave program. And it's to actually, one, disconnect us from our soul truth, our soul presence. It's to keep us locked into a dark subconscious ego mind as the controller of the mind. It also is locking down the genetics. It's got us locked in a two-strand DNA that keeps us limited to only the physical senses that we can see, which is only about 6 feet around your body. That's the extent of our perception. And so this is when they say we're only using 10% of our brain. They are not lying. We are really barely functioning here in the capacity of the human potential. And I found this very offensive and frustrating and annoying. And I thought, well, if I can see it, then I can break the code and we can get free of it. And so that's what's been happening over the years, is just incrementally being able to unwind this and pull off this. So it's as if you can imagine the prison is like you're held suspended in a web. It literally is like a matrix web that we're being controlled by, and we need to get free of it. So it gets into the body, it gets into the organs, it gets into the back of the reptilian brain stem, it gets into the amygdala, which is the emotional brain, it gets into the mind. And so it's pretty substantive, and it's in the genetic code.
And this loops back to the original statements for the top of the hour, which were about the power of the electromagnetic field now dissolving. This is the matrix energy that you were specifically mentioning is now being dissolved by this increase in the electromagnetic energy in the photon belt that we're entering and are due to hang out in for the next 2,000 odd years or whatever.
Yes.
And so this is our advantage. And this might be one way of saying the ascension is now wide open.
Yes.
And so now, if we're coming to this understanding that, all right, we've been in this prison, it's been imposed, and yet our souls do exist, we do know they exist, and there are a lot of people who are waking up, we use that common term, it does feel like waking up after, you know, whoa, where have I been? You start to see things just in a very different way, and then we look around and other people are some waking up and some not, and it's really okay. Everybody's got a right to their process and there's no real wrong way to do it.
Nope.
And so when we are now looking at ascension as an opportunity to gather new information and welcome our soul into our body politic, and integrate our soul into the everyday reality of our life. Is that ascension?
Yes. Yes. It's, in a sense, we're rising up with our frequency to meet the soul descending into us. And we become one again. And that, to me, is the ascension. Yes.
Okay. And so then all the havoc that gets wreaked in ourselves is then, where does that come from? Because, you know, when you're waking up and you're seeing stuff, it doesn't always feel great, you know?
No, it doesn't. And so what we're clearing out of our system, so this is the web, the matrix that we're clearing out of our system. It's multi-layered. We have what we would call just the general program in the collective field. So that has to come out. And that's the prison mentality. That's victim consciousness. That's lack consciousness, right? You have a prison mentality. That is more of the global program of what we see as oppression all around the planet. That needs to lift out. And then we have layers underneath that. We have our family, our birth family, our family of origin that has a patterning, that has programming. We need to get in and find where there's any patterning from our parents that are multi-generations of parents that is also part of the prison that's limiting us. We need to clear that out. And then we also have what I call on the soul level past life lineage, a past life history on planet Earth. And there could be themes in our past lives that are areas that we're exploring. So this could be where there's abuse. It could be where there's loss of love. It's going to be more personal to our own soul's agenda and soul's theme. And this is also very present in our morphic field and in our cells. It's held in the cellular memory. And if there's any trauma in that, it will distort the body. It will upset our well-being. That also has to be healed and cleared out. And because we were in a prison of time, and if we have come here and we've incarnated multiple times, we've experienced the shadow consciousness, the dark force or the loss or the suffering. We also could have what I call soul splits. And this is where there's fragmented aspects of the soul that are stuck in time in these past lives that we have to go and do a soul retrieval and bring ourselves, in a sense, we're piecing ourselves back and becoming whole again from where we've been fragmented and broken.
Uh-huh. And in this conversation of rebuilding ourselves, re-holing ourselves, if you will, and calling these bits back and really taking this on in a very committed way, because obviously, like you said, it's not for the faint-hearted.
No, yeah.
And can you share with us a little bit about how that translates to being the change we want to see in the world?
Okay, yes. Part of what we're experiencing and observing around us is separation. And when we call it separation, it's separation between the human self and the soul presence. It's also separation between our feminine and masculine energy. And so we're all broken and fragmented in areas where they need to come together again, reunite again. We've been in opposing forces. Everything's been opposing inside us, like a battleground inside us. We need to flip that so that it's now becomes a neutral, null zone of integration and harmony and unison, and we really can then piece ourselves back as whole, complete beings. When you start to get into that, and I had extreme fragmenting in my mind, like schizophrenia type of things going on in my mind. It was frightening, and it caused a lot of pain and suffering. And so for me to be able to go through this process and piece my mind back together, it's now really sharp focused. I'm able to see into the unseen world. It's quite profound when you can regroup yourself and regain your true capacity, right? Your true mastery that even goes beyond just this life. It's this soul mastery that is what we're bringing in from past life excellence. You know, it's like Mozart sitting down and playing at 5 years old, a concerto, right? We're bringing in that mastery, that lost power that was fragmented out, and so you start to grow, your energy field starts to become empowered, your aura gets big, your broadcast of light gets strong, and you just have to think about it. Everything I bring back in and I piece in and I integrate in is only adding more and more of who I am to be expressed in the world, and it's coming from an authentic truth and integrity of your soul presence, not of the ego. So it's unthreatening. It's compassionate. It's very loving. And when you are broadcasting that out into the world, of course, people respond differently to you and your outer reality changes. You're not in a battle anymore. Everything starts to run very smoothly. You don't have the ups and downs and the drama because that is caused by the polarized forces, right? So you're now, it's just actually very calm and flatlined. Everything gets very smooth and flowing. And when you get into that rhythm, you are uniting back to the natural rhythm of our universe where you're opening and receiving this abundant flow 24/7. It's a very different way to live from being in the prison.
Yes, thank you very much for that very clear description. And, you know, you wrote an article that actually was what drew me to you, and it's talking about entering the galactic photon belt. And in the article, one of the things that you point out, and you can find it on alchemyoflight.org right now. It's on one of the top posts. You can also find it just doing a Meg Benedict Day search, and it'll come up eventually for you. You will find it. And what I want to point out about it, which is really specific to this polarity and unity coming in, is that the sun itself has changed its frequency. And I wonder if you could go there a little bit, because I think it's really important to realize that this isn't all just woo-woo. This isn't just happening in the head. There's really grounded reasons that we are all being affected, and very grounded reasons why our souls have chosen to come here at this time. And the work we're being asked to do didn't just come out of a hat because we got really bad luck this time. You know what I mean?
Yes. Everything that Jamila is talking about is documented. You can go onto space.com. You can go to the NASA websites, and they have, thank God for the satellite technology. We have extraordinary imagery of the gamma photon bubbles in the galactic core. They've documented there's a vortex spinning around Earth, that everything is spinning counterclockwise, and this gamma photon light is increasing the frequency of the planet. It's real. It's here. It's happening. And I personally even feel the increase in the frequency of the gamma photon light is part of the global climate change. It's increasing the heat. It's increasing the frequency. So we are being greatly affected by this.
And can you explain how that has affected the pulsing or the poles and the sun?
So they are actually started noticing that we actually have a satellite very close to the sun, and it takes measurements daily. And they began to watch and witness. This was in the last year or two that the poles, the sun, of course, is a Taurus, so it had two opposite poles, just like our planet. It's now changed, and it's quadrupolar, has four poles, so it's greatly affecting and changing the magnetic field. And the sun is the center of our solar system, and so we are in the electromagnetic field of the sun. And it's now quadrupolar. They also have documented that they're now finding four-strand DNA in humans. So it is truly mutating the DNA, and the changes in the electromagnetic field is altering the polarity that we've been living in for thousands of years, which was just a dipole, two opposite poles. And I feel that we're actually moving to a unipole, which is truly unity consciousness, where we're starting to live in that zero point of singularity, just a singular pulse of life force inside our center here between the heart and solar plexus, where we're going to start to see this also develop as more and more of our, what we call our, I guess, our ecosystem moves into the fifth dimension. So the magnetic field's changing, the polarity's changing, and the frequency is all changing due to the photon belt.
And share with us, please, a bit about the process of the ascension transmitting itself in the reality. Okay, the thought's a little too big. It needs to come down a little bit. Okay. It'll come in a minute. Okay. So we are in the process of ascension that is being not only promoted and encouraged by the cosmos, but it's providing an incredible opportunity for humanity at this time to break from the prison that has been imposed upon it in the last several thousand, for however many thousand years, by the malevolent extraterrestrial races that have manipulated and mutilated even the human DNA.
Yeah.
So the souls that have come here at this time have chosen to take this on and to write those, rebalance those energies within ourselves. And let's go to the polarity then. And how is polarity a negative thing? Because in polarity, there is some natural energy of attraction. Isn't that what causes the vortex to spin, this energy?
Okay. Great question. What has been our existence before this huge shift is, yes, the polarity, the positive negative energy. I mean, it's what creates electrical current. It creates the gravitational spin. But what I've been shown, how we were designed before the interference and before the genetic reengineering and before the manipulation from the ET races, is that we are designed to manifest from pure consciousness, not from some imposed a polarity of opposite forces. So opposite forces is still an external force on us. But if we are literally birthing and morphing and shape-shifting based on the consciousness that's flowing through the photon light into our system, that's a very different mechanism that is creating life instead of polar opposite forces compressing it. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I appreciate that. I think that's a helpful conversation, as the duality has become the demon, right? Oh,
yes.
Get out of duality. But there's something healthy about the polarity. And I feel like that is great to hear you clarify that a bit, because we don't really want to abandon our process. You know, it's important to integrate the value of those things, because that is the power source within us. So
yes. Well, it's more of like I kept getting guided by the masters to acknowledge the polarity within my own energy and in my own mind, body, heart. But to reverse flip the energies where they come together and integrate and partner and communicate and, in unison instead of banging up against each other and battling it. So that's the shift that I made in my own energetics and then working with others is to take these dual energies and bring them together as one.
Mm-hmm. Unity consciousness.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. Ours just got wings, as they often do. Please, I think it's important to just take a pause right here and please share with us a little bit about the services you provide, where we can find you, and things like that. Let's do the little commercial break for Meg here.
Okay.
Who are you? How can we find you? What is this? You know?
Okay. Well, I have a website that is my primary website for my business and services, and it's called newearthcentral.com. And it is all about supporting the New Earth paradigm into fifth dimension quantum living. And what has been coming through in this new year, 2013, because this is the year, it's the first year of the golden age, and it's really a year of action. Of course, leading up to the end of 2012 was more about just absorbing all of that photon light, right, and getting and releasing our density and just awakening and expanding and accelerating. So this year, it's like kind of putting the foot to the metal and let's take some action on what's been activated inside us. So I am offering some training on how to apply the quantum vortex technique, which is the method that I was channeling and bringing in since 1997. And it's basically using the sacred geometry of creation of our universe. I use Metatron's cube sacred geometry. I use the infinity sign sacred geometry. It's applying the coded templates of sacred geometry to unlock us and to open us up and start to create that portal of still point in our center around the heart solar plexus, so that then we can actually open in and get the energy of the Taurus spinning in our energy field, which then, of course, materializes the Merkaba, which is our spiritual mechanism for accessing all of dimensions in our soul presence. So this quantum vortex is the technique that I teach. I do global meditations. I also sell meditations at the website. And I'm doing a summer teleseminar class that's learning how to shift out of from 3D duality into the 5D quantum living. We're in the fifth week now. I'm going to be offering it's 10 weeks. And I'm going to be offering it again starting in October. So if you're really interested in this, this is a great place to start. I also have an introductory course online at the store to teach you the mechanics and the sacred geometry of the quantum vortex so you could get started working with it in your daily life. And that's there as well. We're running a sale on that in through July at 35% off. So that's there as well. It's quantum vortex activation is what it's called. And then I also do weekly coaching and mentoring and activations with a private membership. And it's $35 a month. And we have a big group that I meet with every Wednesday night. And where if you are familiar with my newer Central Radio show, we took that off the public airwaves and we moved it into the membership. We do that every other week. And then the other bi-weeks, I do powerful vortex activations with the membership. So the membership is also available for people who really want hands-on support weekly in their ascension process.
Well, thank you. $35 a month is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. And we are coming up pretty close, so I'll just offer gratitude to you for joining us. And thank you very much for taking time to be with us and to share your knowledge. And I want to also thank BBS Radio and Don in the back there for being our man in the our hand on the wheel back there and for bringing this broadcast to the public. And so I want to thank the ancestors for all the steps they took in the history of humanity that brought us to this point. It is such a gift to be in this place now and to carry this light forward that has been brought to us. And I want to thank all of our friends in high places who have also joined us in this broadcast. And I want to now return this to you, Meg, and we've got about 5 minutes or so, a little bit more, just 6 minutes to be exact. And I want to just carry that on with our conversation about where we can take our process from here as people who are now choosing to honor our soul. People, you know, we're getting that call that there's something going on with soul. Mm-hmm. We're getting calls that, you know, our world is really, you know, not what we thought it was. Mm-mm. And that can be scary, right?
Yeah. It can. And it's because what we have known is changing and shifting and collapsing, and all the old systems that can't support the greater good, can't support life, is not going to be sustained. It's collapsing with the photon light, with the sentient consciousness. So we have to let go. That's probably one of the biggest hurdles, is just to help the human ego self not attach and not try to hang on to what we've known in the past, just to be very fluid and flexible and open to what's birthing here. It's a whole new paradigm birthing here, and to stay focused on that and not the past. The more that we can detach from the past, we'll set ourselves free. We're open to what's flowing in and birthing alive of the new paradigm, and just see it as a new, fresh start. It's as if you're born again. You're it's a brand new incarnation in a new world. And that's how I view it. And through that positive lens, try not to allow the human to get into the fear, because of course the fear is just being perpetuated by the matrix. The fear is not our natural state, actually. The soul is fearless. So whenever we feel fear or anxiety, my suggestion is to just breathe light into it and dissolve that darkness of the fear. Just illuminate it, because it isn't really our true nature. And it drops our vibration, and we want to keep accelerating and spinning up higher in our vibration. So that's how I deal with fear whenever it rises.
Well, let's talk about fear. Okay, fear has a very contracting effect.
Yes.
And it's not natural, but there is some part of fear that is instinctive. Isn't there some component of fear that does have some natural something about it? Like one thing, it seems to me, like if fear is really activated, say your house is on fire, isn't it fear that gets you up and out of that house?
Well, I don't experience it that way. I get warning. I get insight. I get commands, literally commands, coming in from the higher self. So I don't need the fear, because as I unite with the higher self, with the soul, you don't need fear. You will be on it 24/7.
Uh-huh. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like that very much.
Yes.
And in this idea of shifting from separation to unity, and do you have any offering about how we can do that with each other? You know, I feel like the big sort of exclamation point of our separation is the way that we've become very estranged from each other as true family. Mm-hmm. You know, the mm-hmm. others and all the boxes we put in, you know, all the colors and the religions and the, you know, here in New England, it's very strong, the provincial family thing, you know, biological, you know, all those little boxes we've got for everything. And can you share a little bit about how we're going to dissolve that?
See, that is okay. So that's programming still in the lower ego mind that creates filters on what we're seeing as a worldview. And so we get into the mind, the inner mind, and we peel out and we clear out those filters, so that you really are just seeing through the eyes of the soul from an observer consciousness. So you really are just witnessing all that's happening from a detached compassion. And that's what unconditional love is. It's detached compassion. There's no emotional attachment. We are allowing all that is to be what it is. And We aren't putting any judgment. Judgment's also coming in from the ego. It's just about flowing and being in the now moment, tuned inwards into the higher self, into the divine guidance, into your higher truth. And that way then you aren't getting caught up in other people's drama and the family programs, like you mentioned, the boxes. You can coexist with it, but you aren't attached to it emotionally, energetically. You're a bystander. You're on the sidelines and you're just the witness. And this will change your involvement. Your exchange of energy with others will be up at a higher heart-centered. What's really what we want to manifest is heart-centered connections, where we're connecting soul to soul and bypassing the ego programming.
Okay. And that sort of summarizes what the ascension process offers to us, is that opportunity to embody that, to actually live that.
Yes. Yes. Bringing heaven to earth, really living it. Yes.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Well, I really thank you. We're going to wrap it up now. And between this first hour and the second hour, where we'll welcome Polona Somrock from Eastern Europe, that was pre-recorded for the time difference. And there'll be a song in between. We'll offer another lovely David Lawns song. And it will be the bridge to the next hour. And so we will wrap this hour up about now. If you just would like to offer a final word to all of our fantastic waking up human beings that have signed up for this exciting time to be here on planet Earth, and then I'll just offer a brief close.
Okay. Well, I think what has brought me the greatest sense of inner peace is knowing that we have the knowledge and we have the tools. We have the ability now to not only break free, but really transform ourselves. I think in the past years, that may have been just some hopeful thinking. Now it's here, it's real, it's available. And so I would just love to leave the listeners with that, so they know that the solutions are at hand, and just dive in.
Thank you so much. And we have spent this first hour with the lovely Meg Benedicte. And you can find out more about her and her services at newearthcentral.com. You've been listening to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I'm Jamil Graham, your host. And my website is alchemyoflight.org. You can keep up with our new broadcasts coming. So please enjoy the lovely music and stay tuned for the second hour, Exploring Ascension with Polona Somrock. Thank you so much.